Hello all, this is JC3 from Is This Real? Do you want to start your own podcast? Then look no further than Buzzsprout.com. We here at Green Hour Media use Buzzsprout, and we love the team at Buzzsprout. They are all about helping you succeed. Buzzsprout gets your show listed in every major podcast platform. Follow the link in our show notes to let Buzzsprout know that we sent you. It gets you a $20 paid Amazon gift card if you sign up with a paid plan and helps support our show. Join us and over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout.com to get your message out to the world.
From the Keith Vincent Carroll Studios in Paterson, New Jersey, Green Arrow Media proudly presents Is This Real? Tonight, the Rajneesh Puram cult. And now your host, JC3.
Hi everybody, I'm JC3, and do you want to ignite your Valentine's Day this year? Well, do so with AdamandEve.com. How are you planning to spice things up in the bedroom? Check this out. When you go to AdamandEve.com and select almost any one item, you'll get that one item at 50% off. But that's not all. When you select your one item, you'll also get a free Valentine's Day lover's kit. That includes a gift for him, a special gift for her, and a gift we know both of you will love. The lover's kit also includes six free movies. Six free movies, plus free shipping. So head on over to AdamandEve.com and use the offer code QUESTION. That's Q-U-E-S-T-I-O-N. Without it, there'll be no free Valentine's Day stuff. Now remember, that's QUESTION, Q-U-E-S-T-I-O-N, for 50% off, six free movies, a lover's kit, and free shipping. That's QUESTION at AdamandEve.com. From all of us at Is This Real and Green Hour Media, enjoy your Valentine's Day. Welcome, welcome, welcome everybody to another fantastic episode of Is This Real?
Is This Real?
Tonight, damn, you're the only one tonight that said that, Wes.
Wow.
Let's try that again, people. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Is This Real?
Is This Real?
Thank you.
He was the only one that used to do it, so like, what's the problem?
There's still a problem with that, you know? It's called energy. Bring the energy. Wes always brings the energy.
Yeah!
And then fizzles out in the third quarter, just like the Jets.
The second commercial.
In the booth tonight, we have Big Joe. Big Joe, say hello.
Hello, Big Joe.
We have Mr. Wes. Mr. Wes is in the building.
Yes.
There we go. We have Roblox himself in his first episode in season 12. Welcome, Roblox.
Hey, yo, yo, what's going on, everybody?
You were in the beginning episode, weren't you?
What?
Yeah, you were at the beginning episode. What am I talking about?
Yeah, I just missed the last two. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. My dumbass.
I started with you guys. Hello.
The original four are here tonight.
Yeah,
that's right. We got the original four in the booth.
Yay.
Yeah. So, Rajneesh Puram, gentlemen. What do we want to talk about Rajneesh Puram?
Well, first of all, how do we pronounce it?
Rajneesh Puram.
Okay,
Rajneesh.
Cool.
It's not that hard to pronounce.
Rajneesh Puram.
And I'm the one that has trouble spelling and saying words, so am I the one who gets it? So
it's not hard to say, but spelling it's kind of a problem.
How's this thing, like, come about?
Okay.
Because I saw it's, like, something that's not that old.
No.
Well,
you want to take that, Dad?
I'll just take a little bit here that I'm reading up on as I'm talking to you. Rajneesh Puram was actually a cult. Rajneesh Puram.
There you go. Puram,
okay.
Like a cat, motherfucker.
Was actually a cult in Oregon, and it started in 1981.
Is this proven that it was a cult?
Yes. It was followed. Let me get into it a little bit here. They were following Rajneesh. His real name is Chandra Mohan Yan. And he was born in British India. And
later
he was
known as Osho.
And right. And he was actually a spiritual leader. These people got together and they went to Oregon, more specifically Wasco County, Oregon. In between 1981 and 1988, the population considered entirety of Roshnishes, which
they were called. What brought them into Oregon? Like, was it like?
Well, I guess that's where they figured they had the most amount of land, and they settled. They settled.
Well, now tensions with the public and threatened punitive action by Indian authorities originally motivated the founders and leaders of the Roshnishi movement, Bhagwan Sri Roshnish and Ma Anand Sheela, to leave India and begin a new religious settlement in the United States.
So they were being persecuted for their religious beliefs?
Yes.
Seems that way, yeah. But here's where it gets a little sticky. They decided that they were going, they had a little beef with a couple of people in Oregon, and they were taking it out by going, 731 people, I believe it is, decided that they were going to go and put salmonella in all the restaurants that had salad bars. People got sick.
Whoa.
Okay.
That took a very drastic
turn. That was
turn.
Literally like
that was 1984.
Yeah, you jumped a little
well,
bit.
Well, I mean,
I'm like,
it seemed that they
let's
were
build up in the first period. Well, no, you went right in raw, dude.
It seems that they were very, very quiet. They didn't, you know, do anything until this. But then it got a little hairier, and you know, I can save that for later if you like.
You know how much they purchased the land, the ranch for?
How much?
They purchased the ranch for $5.75 million.
Okay, so wait.
Which would be almost $19 million in today's money.
Okay, so wait. Where did they get this money in the first place?
I
probably the faithful of where they were. Yeah. Don't forget these are religious sects that they're breaking away from. That these people are rich. They got a lot of money, especially these Indian
modern
sects.
Day Puritans.
Yeah, no, I mean they. Really. They I mean,
I'm not making that fast. contrast. Or
so they comparison. so they bought some land?
Yeah, in Oregon.
How much land?
64,281 acres.
A lot of land.
That's a lot of land.
That's a lot of land in central Oregon.
That's
where literally no one is.
An acre is like the equivalent to a football field.
Yeah.
So 62,000 football fields.
It's called it was known as the Big Muddy Ranch.
That's a lot of land, dude.
Near Antelope, Oregon. It was purchased by Sheila's husband, John Shelfer, in 81 for $5.75 million. Within a year of arriving, the commune's leaders had become embroiled in a series of legal battles with their neighbors, primarily over land use.
What does that mean? Like, they weren't allowed to do, like, certain things? They were being restricted by the state
Well, no, not even that. Like, okay, so I don't know if you, in the comparison that I'm probably thinking about it as, it would be something like, have you ever seen the show Yellowstone, or have you ever heard of
isn't Yellowstone that park with the volcano?
Well, no, I mean, yes, but there's also a ranch called Yellowstone, in Montana.
The park.
It's not part of the park specifically. It's called the Yellowstone Ranch. It's a TV show. It's not a real ranch.
Oh, so it's
at least I don't think it's a real ranch.
Okay.
But. The closest, what was the McCoys and the Hatfields?
Hatfields, right.
Something like that. You know the story of the McCoys and the Hatfields?
I do not.
They
Please
basically
let me elaborate.
Attacked each other for years, and they, like two families that have hated each other over land, cattle, stuff like that.
I think I've heard of a story like this.
Yeah, it's something like that. But over out in the West, they do that shit. Like, you're not going to have people fighting over land over here because... You know, you buy a house, you have that little property of land, and
this is my land. This is my
yeah. This is my land. It's like, yeah. Do we have land border things like property lines, and you have to abide by those property lines? These motherfuckers out in the West buy lands like what they did, and I'm talking about like ranch styles where you're buying thousands of acres of land, and you don't go to the authorities to settle those disputes. You go after each other. You steal cattle. You do shit like that. And again, it happens all the time out in the West.
So this Roshnish Purim cult was doing this.
We'll be back after a quick break.
I'm Howard Dory.
And I'm Jess Dory.
And we host Plotting Through the Presidents. we take deeply researched, deeply irreverent dives into the myths, mysteries, and scandals of the men and women who shaped America.
Join us as we dive deep into topics like
the undeniable riz of Aaron Burr.
The what now?
And the odd feeding habits of everyone's favorite founder,
John Adams.
Subscribe and follow Plotting Through the Presidents now to plot along with us.
Find out more at plodpod.com.
Well, they got in a lot of trouble for that incident I told you about with the salmonella.
I mean, that would be a very big thing.
Yeah, they initially stated that they were planning to create a small agricultural community, their land being zoned for agricultural use, but it soon became apparent that they wanted to establish the kind of infrastructure and services normally associated with the town.
So they wanted to create a farm?
They want to create a town.
Kind of. The part that I just read was that it was 64,229 acres of farmland stretching across the Wasco and Jefferson County in Oregon.
Not to be confused with Waco.
It was purchased for $5.75 million, with much of the proceeds coming from the generous donors and supporters, like we just mentioned. The acquired property was previously known as the Big Muddy Ranch, but was fittingly renamed to Rancho Rajneesh. The residents of the new ashram quickly moved to incorporate the commune as the city of Rajneeshpuram. A mall, post office, airport, various centers and halls, even a public transit system, and many other community structures were built to legitimize the brand new Western Rajneeshi spiritual mecca. The farmland was cultivated for growing clean organic produce, and the ashram was passed off as a farming community so as to stay within legal boundaries.
So they became, they took their farming use, which they got the land for, they were zoned for farming agriculture, turned it into an actual town with upwards, from what I'm reading here, almost 7,000 people in it. And turned it into actual, they had fire stations, they had community centers, they had, you know, fucking transit system, and they weren't zoned for that. So it caused an uproar for that, because basically, you're telling us you're taking the land for this particular purpose, as far as farming, and you get tax write-offs for all that stuff, and they turn into, well, we're not actually making a farm, we're creating a city, in which they turned around and they're like, this is not a farm. So you're taking the land and turning it into a city and you know, basically a settlement, and we're giving you tax cuts for farming stuff.
Mm-hmm. And where it got hairy, too, in a way, you also had when they tried to assassinate the then, I'm having trouble reading here tonight. They tried to kill Charles Turner. He was a United States attorney for the District of Oregon. And what was happening is he was going after people and trying to find out if their immigration status was fine. They went after them. They were prosecuting the ones that they found out the immigration, they were illegal aliens, and they went after them. That's when this cult decided that they were going to try to take them out. And they launched a plot against them.
Did they hurt anybody?
I don't think they got to him because he died later on. He died in 2018. So I don't think they got to him. The conspirators included Shelly Ann Croft, chief financial officer for Rajneeshpuram, Susie Hagan, a whole nine yards here. And said they brought weapons and suppressors and volunteered to be the actual murderer. Okay, so there's a group of people that might be illegal. They're using the land illegally. Or against code, if you want to go there. And now they decided to murder somebody. So, yeah, that sounds to me like...
That's culty.
That's definitely a cult. That's the very definition
of a cult. He's a terrorist organization at that point.
Well, yeah, you're right.
You can't just say that's a cult.
Here's the fucked up part for that,
If there's an assassination plot and there's... what was that? The Salmonella thing. That's whatever. Salmonella.
Sal, Bob, Manila. They're all together.
Salmonella.
It's okay, West. I can't say hieroglyphs, so I think...
You can't.
So we're good on that. I want that meme. A meme. Hieroglyphs, Salmonella, and shaking hands. It's like incorrectly saying it.
But the, anyways, that's still considered a bioterrorist attack.
Here's the thing:
those
two things are later on, and Dad loves to jump forward a little bit. He's getting a little ahead of ourselves because there were building tensions upwards.
All right, well, you take
for
that. Go ahead.
I am. We're gonna get to that after we get back from break. So please listen to some of our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Coming up next on Is This Real?
Oregon Attorney General David B. Freumeyer maintained that the city was essentially an arm of a religious organization, and that its incorporation incorporation thus violated the principle of separation of church and state. So if you're part of a religious organization, which they deemed them, you cannot own land. But that doesn't make any sense, because doesn't the church own land?
The Catholic Church is
it's the biggest real estate company in the world, isn't
it? Well, other than McDonald's.
Hey, everybody. We're just letting you know that we have new merch in our store. Go to greenhourmediastore.myspreadshop.com, greenhourmedia.org, or the link in the bio for our first ever logo drop. The Cryptid Collection is here. Get your favorite cryptids such as Bigfoot, Mothman, Nessie, the Yeti, or the Jersey Devil on t-shirts, hats, or mugs. You can also get all of our podcast logos on various items as well. Remember, that's greenhourmediastore.myspreadshop.com, greenhourmedia.org, or the link in the bio. New episodes of Is This Real drop Sundays at 8. Question everything.
Hi, everybody. I'm JC3, and do you want to ignite your Valentine's Day this year? Well, do so with AdamandEve.com. How are you planning to spice things up in the bedroom? Check this out. When you go to AdamandEve.com and select almost any one item, you'll get that one item at 50% off. But that's not all. When you select your one item, you will also get a free Valentine's Day lover's kit. That includes a gift for him, a special gift for her, and a gift we know both of you will love. The Lover's Kit also includes 6 free movies. 6 free movies! Plus free shipping. So head on over to AdamandEve.com and use the offer code QUESTION. That's QUESTION. Without it, there'll be no free Valentine's Day stuff. Now remember, that's QUESTION. QUESTION for 50% off, 6 free movies, a lover's kit, and free shipping. That's question at adamandeve.com. From all of us at Is This Real and Green Hour Media, enjoy your Valentine's Day.
And welcome back to a Rajneesh Purim episode. It's going to get pretty intense with this next section. But go on, Dad. You have something?
I just got a question for you, and it doesn't nothing to do with the podcast. Well, it does, but when's the last time, honestly, this four were in the booth together to do one episode? It's got to be 2 years now.
Oh, no. I think we did one a couple seasons ago.
Yeah?
Yeah. Why? You're enjoying Anthony not being here and making things weird, aren't you?
No.
You can say it.
Okay.
I know Josh is.
I miss Cito because normally gives us the arguing, but it is
and
what
Cito
it is.
Cito raises some interesting questions, too. I do miss that kid. I'm going to give him a big hug and a kiss when I see him.
I'll hug him. I'm not kissing him. I'm going to hug you, motherfucker. Anyway, sorry, Cito. I love you.
All right, so this next portion, Wes, I think you're going to enjoy this next portion. So before... My God, I'm going to buy you a shirt with that. So before we get to... The poisoning
Good old Sal.
The poisoning with the salmonella, and before the assassination attempt, there was some increasing tensions that happened to the years prior to this. So, the town of Antelope, which is a couple, you know,
it's within the county.
Well, it's within the county, but like Rajneesh Purim was within like the town of Antelope in a way. It's like they're both.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of land out there.
Yeah, that's
they were bordering towns. I read something.
Right. Became a focal point for conflict. It was the nearest town to the ranch, and had a population under 60 people. So you have a town of 7,000 people versus a town of 60,
mm-hmm. which is like five blocks.
Those tax properties have to be crazy.
Yeah, like literally, like the house down the street has more people in it than this town does. Initially. Rajneesh's followers had purchased only a small number of lots in Antelope. After the activist group 1,000 Friends of Oregon became involved. Now, who the 1,000 Friends of Oregon is, they were a private nonprofit organization that advocates for land use planning. It was incorporated in October 1974, following the creation of Oregon's statewide land use system in 1973 by then-Governor Tom McCall and an attorney, Henry Richmond. So they are a land use planning organization, nonprofit, private. They got involved. Antelope denied these people, the Sanyasins, which are the Rajneeshis. They don't like being called Rajneeshis because that is the quote-unquote, whatchamacallit term for it.
It's like a racial slur?
Yeah. So they don't like to be called a Rajneeshi. Antelope denied the Sanyasins a business permit for the mall order operation, and more Sanyasins moved into the town. In April 82, Antelope held a vote to disincorporate itself to prevent itself from being taken over. By this time, so basically, Antelope said, let's not be a town so we don't get taken over by these Rajneeshis. They voted to assisted suicide. That's basically what the town decided to do. In May 82...
So they just decided to get engulfed by the Rajneeshis?
Well, yeah, but because the Rajneeshis lived in the town, they're a part of the town, they get a say in what happens in the town, they voted against it. So Antelope is still a thing because the Rajneeshis said, no. By May of 82, the residents of the Rancho Rajneesh commune voted to incorporate the separate city of Rajneeshpuram on the ranch. Apart from the control of Antelope and the land use question, there were other disputes. The common leadership took an aggressive stance on many issues and initiated litigation against various groups and individuals.
So it sounds like there was just like a lot of legal battles that they were trying to beat, or just more so like maybe like corruption.
Mm-hmm.
Or more so like greed, in the sense where they're trying to do things that they know that they shouldn't be.
Well, push the envelope.
Move over a little bit. You're out of frame.
They were pushing the envelope.
There you go, good sir. Yes, but this is where it takes a steep climb. Ready?
Okay.
So my question for you, Dad, when was, and maybe you have it here, Joshua, when was the salmonella poisoning? It's 83, right?
83, yes.
Do you remember what month in 83?
I do not remember that August? At all. Hold on, I'll try to get more clarification here.
You have August or
October?
October.
I think it was all the way at the top. Hold on a second.
Because?
It says between August 29th and October 10th, 19.
Oh, that was 84.
Yeah.
So it was 84, not 83.
84, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but it doesn't tell you when, though.
He has between August 29th and October 10th.
Okay.
84. Right. So in June of 83, a bomb went off.
Oh, no.
In the Hotel Rajneesh. It was a Rajneeshi-owned hotel in Portland, Oregon, by the Islamist militant group Jamaat-ul-Fuqar. Fuqar? I hope I'm saying that correctly, but it's a terrorist group, so I don't care if I'm not. Further heightened tensions. A display of semi-automatic rifles acquired by the Rajneeshpuram Peace Force. Semi-automatic rifles for the Peace Force! Peace Force!
Yeah, you have to enforce peace.
You're not taking my leg. Clack, clack.
Semi-automatic weapons acquired by the Rajneeshpuram Peace Force, creating an image of imminent violence.
Holy shit.
Rumors arose of the National Guard being called in to arrest Rajneesh himself. At the same time, the commune was embroiled in a range of legal disputes. Oregon Attorney General David B. Freumeyer maintained that the city was essentially an arm of a religious organization, and that its incorporation incorporation thus violated the principle of separation of church and state. So if you're part of a religious organization, which they deemed them, you cannot own land. But that doesn't make any sense, because doesn't the church own land?
The Catholic Church is
the biggest real estate company in the world, isn't it?
Well, other than McDonald's. I think McDonald's owns more.
and the clown beat the Pope.
Aren't they like...
They're both clowns.
The city of the Vatican is religious? Is it not?
Well, it's its own country, quote unquote.
Oh, God damn. Oh, okay, yeah. Never mind.
So in a sense, then that would be... So in a sense, the churches that the Catholic Church owns would be its assets instead of just like property actually owned.
Yeah, they don't get charged taxes for any church property.
Oh my God, they could never survive the amount of land they own.
Oh yeah, yeah. Now, anything that's owned by the Catholic Church does not pay taxes.
But you know what's funny? And not to, on a side note here, I every once in a while I do something goofy and check on some things that nobody else checks on.
Man, no, I mean, you know every actor of fucking, like, do you see a commercial and you're like, that guy looks familiar? He knows the backstory of that particular actor.
I like to have knowledge, Joe. I like to, you know, because you know what? It is what it is.
Autism kicking in again?
Pretty much, yeah.
Autism. You want to talk about autism, man? Pronounce salmonella.
Anyway.
Salmonella. Hey! He pronounced it correctly.
I always thought that if you would check on the background of a church and look for who's got the deed, it would say, you know, owned by
the Pope,
Catholic Church.
The Catholic Church in Rome. It doesn't. Each church is owned by itself. It's a separate standalone entity, but somehow it's all tied in together with. Now,
it's a trust fund.
Pretty much,
they run it like a trust. They run it like a trust fund. Where
Catholic
every,
Church, the biggest, every, the biggest every, corporation
every,
in the world,
where every church is a legal entity. Which then, whatever money it brings in, gets its own tax write-offs, blah, 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 et cetera,
I'll show you.
But everything's still tied because it's all owned by the parent company, which is the Vatican Church.
The Vatican, right.
Well, but getting back to Rodney's
part. Sorry about
part.
That.
No, it's
all
right.
Points.
It's all right. So it violated, apparently this attorney general said it violated the principle of separated church and state. The 1,000 Friends of Oregon claim that the city violated state land use laws. And in 1983, a lawsuit was filed by the state of Oregon to invalidate the city's incorporation, and many attempts to expand the city further were legally blocked, prompting followers to attempt to build in nearby Antelope, which was briefly named Rajneesh when the sufficient number of Rajneeshis registered to vote there and won a referendum on the subject. So Antelope was called Rajneesh, right next to Rajneeshpuram, briefly because more Rajneeshis moved into Antelope and became registered to vote, and they won to call it Rajneesh.
Let me ask you a question.
This
you...
was before the 84 thing.
This right? is before the, this is all leading up to the 84 thing.
Okay.
Have now these Rajneeshi people, whatever, they were they Americans that joined this cult, or they were all brought over from India?
I believe it has Americans. You have people from India. They they obtained their. Obviously, if they're buying land and shit like that, they've obtained their green cards and everything legally, their citizenship
well,
legally.
The ones that weren't were being looked at. That's what caused a major problem. Yeah. But.
The Rajneeshpuram residents believe that the wider Oregonian community was both bigoted and suffered from religious intolerance. According to Carl Acton, Rajneesh's followers had made peaceful overtures to the public community when they first arrived in Oregon. As Rajneeshpuram grew in size, heightened tensions led certain fundamentalist Christian church leaders to denounce Rajneesh, the commune, and his followers. Petitions were circulated aimed at ridding the state of the perceived menace. Letters to state newspapers reviled the Rajneeshis, one of them likening Rajneeshpuram to another Sodom and Gomorrah. And did everyone know who Sodom and Gomorrah are?
That's the story in the Bible of the the city that God destroyed.
Another
he was, like, looking for like 10 or 20 faithful people, and
another referring the Rajneeshis to a cancer in their midst. So they're referring to these people as a cancer. In the time, circulars mixing hunting humor with dehumanizing characterizations of Rajneeshis began to appear at gun clubs, turkey shoots, and other gatherings. One of these circulated widely over the Northwest, declared an open season to the Central Eastern Rajneesh, known locally as the Red Rats or Red Vermin. So basically, they turned around and said, it's open season when you see these motherfuckers, shoot on sight. And that was community.
That's definitely like, that would definitely get on an FBI terror watch list, if you ask me.
Well, no, these aren't the Rajneeshis. They're the ones who are that said that these Oregonians. I don't like that word. I know it's correct. I just don't like that word. But these Oregonians in the greater region are saying, shoot these motherfuckers on sight because they're a cancer.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm. That's
so
what I'm
yeah,
getting,
this is what you say. The building tension. You're on the rise to the climax. You know what is the story arch? I forgot the rise and the story arch. You have your inciting incident, and then your rise, and then you have your climax. This is the rise to the climax.
Yeah.
Damn, English class. I remember that shit.
Yeah, you got the little triangle.
Right, right.
Yeah, you got your introduction, your rising climax. You got your climax, receding, and your conclusion.
Yeah.
I was there.
I was there too.
I remember.
So
I was there.
As Rajneesh himself did not speak in public during this time, and until October 84 gave few interviews, his secretary and chief spokesperson, Ma Anand Shili, or Sheila Silverman, became, for practical purposes, the leader of the commune. She did little to defuse the conflict, employing a crude, caustic, and defensive speaking style that exasperated hostilities and attracted media attention. On September 14th, 1985, what?
No, go ahead.
On September 14th, 1985, Sheila and 15 to 20 other top officials abruptly left Rajneeshpuram. The following week, Rajneesh convened press conferences and publicly accused Sheila and her team of having committed crimes within the and outside the commune. The subsequent criminal investigation, the largest in Oregon history, confirmed that a secretive group had, unbeknownst to both government officials and nearly all Rajneeshpuram residents, engaged in a variety of criminal activities, including the attempted murder of Rajneesh's physician, wiretapping and bugging within the commune and within Rajneesh's home, poisoning two officials, and arson. So this chick and her people were basically doing whatever the fuck they wanted.
Committing crimes
of murder, attempted murder, arson, and they were like, within the time, Rajneesh was like, yeah, I'm taking a back seat.
Well, that's a typical cult leader. I mean, you know.
Take a back seat and blame everybody else when everything gets found out.
Exactly. They're all the same. I mean, look at every cult leader in the world, and I'm going to stick with one that I know well, Charles Manson. I mean, he did the same thing. I mean, you know, he got everybody.
Charlie didn't kill anybody, though.
He didn't kill anybody. Well, we don't know that. Shorty Hayes is still disappeared. So with that was, you know, in his mantra when Charlie was alive, he's like, I didn't make those people kill him. They killed him because they wanted to. Okay, so you led him to the house. You gave them the layout of the house. You told them what you wanted done, but you didn't physically go in. And yes, they did it on their own volition. But again, you had something to do with it. Now, again, is it criminal? I don't know.
Well, yeah, the 1984 attack. In 1984, Sheila Silverman coordinated an attack alongside Rajneeshpuram citizens to infect the salad bars of at least 10 restaurants in the county seat of Wasco County, with Salmonella, in an attempt to incapacitate the voting population of the city.
I can say it now.
To incapacitate the voting population of the city so their own candidates would win in the 1984 Wasco County elections. This just sounds, and I'm sorry to say this, this all sounds just like white trashy.
Depends, you know. Depends.
Like, run, sister, like that. Like, well,
we just lost the South.
Well, I don't care. I mean,
I care. A lot of people in the South.
Well, technically, he's losing the Northeast, but
I don't care about the Northeast either. Northwest.
I'm sorry.
I care about the Northeast. I live here. Okay.
I want to go to this place.
You want to go to Rajneeshpuram?
I want to go there now because it's now known as the Walker Ranch. And it apparently has a new owner or whatever. But a lot of the structures are still together. And I got a whole laundry list of structures here. They had these houses that were built like, they look like little
teepees? They look like a ghost town. It looks like a prison.
Yeah, and they have a giant a giant it looks like meeting a,
it
hall.
This one, it literally looks like a prison.
It does. Okay. It's we, what they're doing now.
That, but okay.
It's well, it's...
All right. 751 people were infected with salmonella, including officials. 45 people were hospitalized. No fatalities. It's regarded, still to this day, as the single largest biological warfare attack in United States history. Wow. So, they have a notch on their belt for that.
I'm sure somewhere in somebody's basement they're trying to top that.
You know, I mean...
Just waiting for the right opportunity.
Someone's like, bet I could get 742.
Yeah, I mean, it prevented them. Droves on election day came out once this was found out. Like, I'm talking like people from different counties started coming into the county and voting against these people so they wouldn't take control.
That's wild, though. Like, they really out here poisoned an entire...
Yeah, 751 people. That's more than the town of fucking Antelope.
Now, but what did Rajneesh say about this?
There was no... he had no word on it. No comment.
No comment.
There was another incident. Air Rajneesh and the buddy Big Money Ranch Airport. In the mid-1980s, members of the Rajneesh commune...
Wait. They had their own airport?
Yeah.
...constructed Big Muddy Ranch Airport to ferry supplies and passengers to Rajneeshpuram. To ferry the actual cargo and passengers, the Rajneeshis created an airline called Air Rajneesh, which operated large commuter aircraft out of Big Muddy Ranch Airport.
I wonder if that's as big as Freddy Laker.
From the photos that I'm seeing right here, this place looks kind of deserted. It looks very desert-like.
That's what's making it attractive.
Dude, it's the middle of fucking Oregon.
Yeah.
There's like 10 people in Oregon to begin with. So, like, what are you going to talk about? Like,
Hold on, wait a minute. This man just spent time in Oregon. I'll take his word.
Is there more than
10 people in Oregon?
Yes, there's a lot more.
Okay. You're wrong, sir.
What city? Portland, right?
Well, I was in Portland, Salem. I went to a place called Pacific City, which is like on the coast.
I would guess, you know.
It's pretty nice.
Pacific Ocean.
Yeah. I saw the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah. Pacific Ocean?
The Pacific Ocean. Yeah, it was cool.
Someday I'll get there.
What's very interesting is that, like, just the landscape of the state where it has its variety. It's like, kind of like Colorado in the sense where there's very different parts, because from what we're seeing here in this Rajneeshpuram is that it looks very desert-like.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like they can sustain a lot of life and like land.
It looks to me like Utah, a lot like like the Utah desert out there, you know.
And geographically, it doesn't make sense for it to like look like that, because like up here, it looks like there would be more.
He's pointing at the screen where people can't see.
More, yeah. I mean, they can.
Yeah, they can. You can look it up.
You can look it up, or you can just put a freaking thing.
Oh, so you just want me to edit more? Yeah, all right, now, yeah. I'm fucking with
work.
You.
Do something.
Ooh.
I am
right to the heart on that.
I am
one.
Doing something. I'm hosting it, editing.
Yeah, oh, dear God.
Yeah, you're doing a lot.
Thank you. All right, so we're gonna get to its downfall.
The biological terror attack and the assassination plot wasn't enough.
Well, no, you're right. I mean, it was, but we're gonna get to its downfall in our final segment tonight. So we'll be right back. We're gonna hear some more sponsors, so please take a listen. We'll be right back.
Coming up next on Is This Real?
I honestly think it's a combination of all three that you guys suggested.
So a cartel, a cult, and
it was
a
like
terrorist
a
organization.
Cult. That turned into a cartel and then turns to terrorist or like organization.
Hey everybody, I'm JC3.
And I'm Mr. West.
And this episode is brought to you by Dubby. Made by professionals in the USA, Dubby was formulated to give you focus and energy with no jitters or crash.
No jitters.
Their formula contains vitamins, amino acids, including the patented Neurofactor. You know what Dubby doesn't give you?
What's that?
No calories, no sugars,
no fillers,
and no artificial flavors. When the raw ingredients
arrive to their FDA-registered and inspected facility that strictly adheres to GMP guidelines. They undergo a quarantine while a small sample of each ingredient is taken to test for any impurities, while also being tested to ensure that the ingredients are actually what they are supposed to be and have the proper dosage.
And once the ingredients pass all the tests, then they're cleared to get mixed into the formula. So head on over to w.gg and use our offer code IsThisRealPC for 10% off your first order. That's dubby.gg and use the code IsThisRealPC for 10% off. They have great flavors such as Galaxy Grenade, Dub Sludge, Passing Joy Tea, Monkey Madness, and Dragonade. My personal favorite is
Dragonade. Right here. I got Dragonade right here.
Delicious.
Drink Dubby.
And be better.
These products are not intended to diagnose, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hello, this is JC3 speaking. If you want to know more about Is This Real Podcast and our parent company, Green Arrow Media, then visit greenarrowmedia.org. You can find and follow all of our social media pages through our website. If you love our content, then you can support us by subscribing to our YouTube channel and our Patreon page. Remember, that is greenarrowmedia.org.
And we're back with the, do we call this a cult or do we call it a terrorist organization?
Clearly a cult the way they're acting.
Is it cult or terrorist organization? What's the difference between the two?
Well, the terrorist organization, it's clear as day because they're out here. They fucking committed a biological terror attack where 700 people
went from cult to terrorist group.
I think it would have been a cult if Rajneesh himself affected his own people and they died. We're sacrificing ourselves for Rajneesh.
I wouldn't even go.
Like, that's a cult thing.
Honestly, I wouldn't even go as far as even calling it a cult. I would just think of it as just a guy that just wanted to come to this country and just take advantage of the tax laws.
You're right. The funny part about that is that from the shit I've been reading about, like what we've talked about tonight on this episode, this motherfucker didn't have anything to do with any of it. It's like it's all his underlings.
Poke and run. That's what a good cult leader will do. Don't blink, because then
it keeps his hands washed.
It's plausible deniability. They don't have. I mean, just look at all the cult leaders. I know people are gonna lose their mind when I say this one, but you know, David Koresh. Say what you want.
Who?
David Koresh.
Who's David Koresh?
David Koresh was the one in Waco, Texas.
Oh.
Okay.
All Waco, right. Not Wasco. Two different things.
Waco, Waco, whatever you want to call it.
No. I'm saying
that's the ATF raid one, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, right. We're talking about Wasco County, Oregon, Texas.
He clearly had his people involved. But again, with him, he went down with the ship. So you're not going to get that with most.
Well, let's talk about the outcome of the Rajneeshis and Rajneesh Purim.
Okay.
Sheila, when she left to West Germany.
Uh-huh.
West Germany would be still United States owned, though. Not owned, but run.
Well, yeah, it's...
Because you had East Germany, which was run by the Russians, and then West Germany would be the United States.
And this is 1987?
1985.
It's still Soviet.
Well, no, West is United States run.
Right. And
East would be Soviet.
Yeah, the Berlin Wall was still up.
Yeah, because it came down in 86, right?
90.
Yeah,
90?
I think it was 90. Yeah.
Well, the Soviet Union fell in 1990.
I think that was 87. It came down because that's when Reagan said, Mr. Gorbachev,
take down that wall.
Take down the wall. I mean, I could be a little fuzzy. And you might be right. It might be 90. I don't know.
Well, she was.
I think it was 19.
She was extradited from West Germany in 1985 and imprisoned for attempted murder, assault, wiretapping, arson, and immigration fraud.
Wiretapping?
Wiretapping.
See, when you get to that point where you're wiretapping...
91.
91.
That's high-tech stuff. So that tells me there was a lot of intelligence.
They were wiretapping their own people.
Yeah, that's...
Rajneesh Purim?
Oh, she was, yeah. Her and her underlings were. I like using the word underlings.
Oh, Sheila.
But she was also arrested for... imprisoned for her role in the bioterror attack. During the next few years, the movement also came under investigation for multiple other felonies. Arson, on January 14th, 1985, the Wasco County Planning Department office, which held the files on long-running disputes involving the Rajneeshis, was set on fire. The fire extensively damaged the office and destroyed one-third to one-half of the county's files. They were investigated for attempted murder. Several commune members plotted to kill Charles H. Turner, the U.S. attorney, in Portland, and several other persons considered to be Rajneeshi enemies. In the 1985 Rajneeshi assassination plot, which you talked about, Dad, others were on the hit list, including Dave Freumeier, the Oregon Attorney General, who first started to publicly dispute the Rajneeshi activities. They were investigated for immigration fraud. Despite originally traveling to the United States claiming medical reasons, Rajneesh never sought out medical treatment during his residence and later admitted to counts of immigration fraud. So he didn't get his fucking... I mean, if you're looking for immigration fraud, you got your card?
Well, yeah. You got to look for the green card and on any kind of status that they're on.
So you if know, he came in here on a medical list, leave...
He came here on a what?
Medical leave. For he put on his immigration papers for medical reasons. He came to the United States, so but he never sought medical attention.
Well, then right there, it's got to tell you the guy was a fucking flake.
All right.
Okay. I mean, well, I don't know what more you need to see with this clown.
they were also investigated for voting fraud. You know, voting fraud doesn't happen in America. No, it does not.
No, absolutely not.
Nope, it doesn't. The Rajneesh Purim community attempted to sway local elections in their favor in a variety of methods, including the Share a Home program, in which they transported thousands of homeless people to Rajneesh Purim and attempted to register them to vote to inflate the constituency of voters of the group's candidates. The Wasco County clerk counted this attempt by enforcing a regulation that required all new voters to submit their qualifications when registering to vote.
This guy should have worked for the government because this is perfect. He wants to bring in the homeless, the indigent, the people who aren't working, the really, really hurt, depressed people of society. Make them come into the country and vote for them. Sounds like what we got going on today, right?
And this was back in the 80s.
Yeah, and this is a guy from another country coming here, bringing our people in to vote for their candidates or whatever. Sounds a little bit like what's going on at the southern border, doesn't it?
Whoa. I'm not touching that one.
Okay, well, let's just follow up with something else that I just read.
Come on, I just got a good news on Biden. Give me a break.
Okay. After the falling out of the public eye for a few years, Rajneesh broke his silence. By July 1985, Rajneesh had returned to regularly practicing his teachings. He came out and stated that it was time for him to speak his own truths. When Sheila and other inner circle disciples mysteriously left Rajneesh Purim for Europe out of the blue, Rajneesh held a damning press conference. In September 1985, roughly 1 year after the Salmonella incident, he publicly blamed Sheila and her team of associates for the 1984 bioterror attack, as well as other alleged crimes carried out without his knowledge, such as attempted murder or Rajneesh's doctor, more poisonings of authority figures, and espionage within Rajneesh Purim and Rajneesh's living quarters.
Again,
espionage.
Again, he's sitting there telling you, I had nothing to do with it. I didn't know. Everything that's good, he gets blamed for. Okay, named the cult after
everything,
him.
Everything that's good, he gets accredited for. That's bad, he wants to push the blame on.
Yeah, I didn't know nothing about it. I wasn't
there. Well, just think
about
this way. See, the funny part about that, because, you know, everything that I listed here, everything I said about all these charges happened after Sheila was arrested. They attempted murder on the attorney general after she was arrested. There's one more thing I didn't get to, in which they didn't, like, they also attempted currency and drug smuggling.
this was obviously, you know what? Eric's absolutely right. They're a terrorist organization.
You know what this sounds like? It's just ridiculous. It doesn't sound like a terrorist organization. You know what? Hold on. It sounds like
the U.S. government.
It sounds like a cartel. No. It's more on lines with a cartel.
No, but a cartel is a terrorist organization.
Though. Yeah, they will kill you, bomb you, blow you up. They don't give a fuck.
These criminal activities have begun, according to the Office of Attorney General, begun in the spring of 1984, 3 years after the establishment of the commune. Rajneesh himself was accused of immigration violations, to which he entered an Alford plea. What's an Alford plea? We don't know what an Alford plea is.
I don't know.
Okay, let's read what an Alford plea is. An Alford plea in United States law, also called a Kennedy plea in West Virginia, is a guilty plea in criminal court whereby a defendant in a criminal case does not admit to the criminal act and asserts innocence, even if the evidence presented by the prosecution would be likely to persuade a judge or jury to find the defendant guilty beyond a reasonable doubt.
Wouldn't Manson qualify under that?
No, he wouldn't. Who did qualify? Do you guys remember? We did an episode a couple years ago. Maybe I don't remember when, but it was about the three killers down in I think it was they killed these kids, and then they were arrested. Brandon Nichols, all of these guys, they were arrested for the crimes, but then they later on they were. Basically,
I know what you're talking about. Brandon Eccles. Remember,
Innocence Lost. That was the HBO special about it.
Yeah, we didn't watch that. So,
I don't
remember which episode that was.
These three young kids were killed, and their penis was cut off of one. The other one, they were really bad. So these kids were basically they dressed in gars or black goth stuff, and they were automatically guilty by association. However, it proved later on that they weren't guilty. What they did was, with Brandon Eccles and the three of them, they said, look, we have enough evidence that we can't convict you on another trial, but we're going to let you go, but you're going to have to admit to the crime. So that's
as part of his plea bargain, he agreed to leave the United States and eventually return to Pune, India. His followers left Oregon shortly afterwards. The increasing ability and capacity of local and state regulations, regulators, to actively limit the development of Rajneeshpuram this way was one major factor that led to the sudden collapse of the commune in September and October of 1985. The legal standing of Rajneeshpuram remained ambiguous. In the church-state suit, federal judge Helen J. Fry ruled against Rajneeshpuram in late 1985, a decision that was not contested, since it came too late to be of practical significance. The Oregon courts, however, eventually found it in favor of the city, with the Court of Appeals determining that in 1986, incorporation had not violated the state's planning system's agricultural land goals. The Oregon Supreme Court ended litigation in 1987, leaving Rajneeshpuram empty and bankrupt, but legal within Oregon law. Originally listed for over $28 million in 1985, the ranch was sold at sheriff's auction for $4.5 million in late 1988 to Connecticut General Life Insurance Company, the only bidder. And then, just to top it all off before we give our own opinions about what we read tonight, Dennis R. Washington's firm, Washington Construction, purchased the Big Muddy Ranch for $3.6 million in 1991. Washington attempted to run the ranch for profit and also unsuccessfully negotiated with the state to turn it into a state park. In 1996, Washington donated the ranch to Young Life, a Christian youth organization. Since 1999, Young Life has operated a summer camp there, first as the Wild Horse Canyon Camp, later as the Washington Family Ranch. There are two camps on the property today. The primary camp is the Washington Family Ranch. The canyon serves high school students, while the smaller camp, Washington Family Ranch, Creekside, primarily serves middle school students. The Big Muddy Ranch is also still located there. So that's what happened to the ranch today. Obviously, Dad said Rajneesh himself is deceased. He expired. He's dead.
He's dead.
We don't, from what I'm guessing, and I'll ask everybody here, So we're not classifying this as a cult then. Dad, do you classify Rajni Parm as a cult, a cartel, or a...
what do you classify?
Yeah, what do you classify?
From what I know now, I don't think I could put him in a cult status. I think I could put him in a criminal terrorist organization. Not so much terrorists, they had terrorist leanings, but they were definitely criminal. Definitely criminal. And did he act like a leader of a cult? Yes, with the plausible deniability. Yeah, he did. But and it just seemed there was a group of people inside this organization that were doing his bidding for him. I don't know. Not a whole lot of information on the entire group of people themselves.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about almost 7,000 people in there.
Right. So, did they go out?
How many people were carrying this out? And how many people were just living? Like, see, my thing is, like, if you read this, I don't know. Did anybody read what his actual teachings were?
Yeah, I'll give you. Let me give you his Ten Commandments.
Okay, that's fine. I would love to know.
In his early days of as Acharya Rajneesh, a correspondent once asked for his Ten Commandments. In reply, Rajneesh said that it was a difficult matter because he was against any kind of commandment, but just for fun, set out the following.
Just for fun. Okay. I love that one.
Number one, never obey anyone's command unless it's coming from within you also. Now, I want you to think about
this.
Don't
obey the Ten Commandments.
Right. I want you to think about this.
Unless the commandments are within you.
Right. And somebody saying something to confuse things to make it sound unconfusing.
More important.
There is no God other than life itself. Truth is within you. Do not search for it elsewhere. Love is prayer. To become a nothingness is the door to truth. Nothingness itself is the means, the goal, and the attainment. Life is here and now. Live wakefully. Do not swim. Float. Die each moment so that you can be new each moment.
Are you sure these are commandments and not stuff you just got off embroidered pillows?
No. Okay. And
because that's what it sounds like.
And
to
the
me.
Last one is, do not search. That which is, stop and see.
Another, and more so, these commandments.
Hold on, I love this. Not to cut you off, Wes, but I love these because I know you, Wes. You're the one that's gonna unravel these. So please feed us your knowledge, Mr. Wes.
Well, I mean, his Ten Commandments are all nothing short of just live in the moment. That's all it is. You have 10 different reasons to just sit there and say live in the moment.
By calling yourself nothingness.
Well, I think what he's saying.
But because
I'm following
it's more,
that, because I am nothing.
To be nothingness is the door to the truth. Nothingness is the means.
Nothingness is the reason for this.
Is the goal and achievement. For that, what that sounds like, it's more so like getting at that like stoic nirvana state where like you're not bothered by anything. It's just more so living in the moment.
All right, so.
And I also think he pulled him out of his ass too, but that's just.
Well, yeah. Obviously he pulled him out of his ass because if you're sitting there like I don't believe commandments.
Well,
and your first commandment, be like, don't follow commandments, but here are the rest of my commandments. That's like, the fuck.
Yeah, it's weird, but whatever.
All right, so West, you've said it plenty of times, but you believe this is a terrorist organization?
Yes, I do.
All right, yes, do. Roadblock.
There's nothing.
Lord Rhodey, sorry.
There is nothing.
I did not pronounce Lord Roadblock at the beginning of this episode.
Oh, Lord Roadblock.
I called him Roadblock.
Lord Roadblock.
I did not call him Lord Roadblock. Lord Roadblock,
wait,
please.
Wait, oh, yeah, you bring up a good point. So Pope Tony's being retired. Is Roadblock son being retired as well?
Roadblock son?
Yeah. No, although no, he doesn't really.
Lord. He is Lord
he
Roadblock.
Doesn't, he's only made one appearance. So we have to go. But you know what? He can't do that anymore.
No, he's lost weight.
Roadblock son was chunky son back then. Now he's skinny son. We got to do some CGI in on this one.
I'm not that skinny, Jesus.
You could be Lord Roadblock Chong.
No, it's
Son,
Lord.
Not
it's
Tron.
It's Lord Roadblock. It's Lord
Roadblock Chong.
The Lord himself. I forgot to take the Lord and tell him that he is Lord Roadblock. So please, Lord Roadblock, grace me with your knowledge in which you believe.
My ears are not worthy for your knowledge.
All right, please knight me, Lord Roadblock-san, with your knowledge.
Our ears are not worthy. Oh, please, first of all, much thank you in advance before you speak.
I honestly think it's a combination of all three that you guys suggested.
So a cartel,
a cult, and a terrorist organization. Cult that turned into a cartel, and then turns to terrorist or like organization. Like well, it yeah, literally I mean, is all three if you follow it, and it's
there's the chronological order.
Is that the Pokemon evolution of what a cult
yeah,
could be?
Yeah, pretty much.
It goes cult, cartel, and then so I'm guessing
it's a Machoke. It's a Machop, Machoke, and then I'm a champ, bro.
Yeah, that's essentially what it was.
So my question is, if we're standing in here, I mean, I always thought that cartels were worse than terrorist organizations, but you're saying the terrorist organizations are worse than cartels?
It's the same thing. They're intertwined. It's literally intertwined.
I mean, with the cartels, it's like threatening and they just want money, which is kind of what the cult turned into. But then that viral terror attack stuff, that just went
You can't just
You're number one in the FBI most wanted at that point.
Well, I don't even understand how they weren't on a FBI watch list after some shit like that.
Well, I mean, that's why she fled to West Germany. And my point is, like, if you don't understand, West Germany is under the control of I'm guessing, wouldn't be NATO, but under the control of something that needs to...
It would be considered NATO at that time.
Would it be NATO at that time?
West Germany, I believe, was
under... Yeah, it's under the control of NATO, which is a big part of it is being funded by America. Why would you flee to West
Germany? She got bad advice because there would be no... especially with something like that, there's no extradition treaty with the United States. I mean, there is an extradition treaty with the United States. It's not like going to Brazil or something like that.
There's no extradition
that.
There, yeah.
So,
Well, hold on. Don't you have to be like a Brazilian citizen for that shit, or that only applies to like China? Because I know China does the same thing where like they don't extradite their own unless like if you're not a Chinese citizen,
there's a reason why there's certain countries that there's no extradition if you commit a crime in the United States and you go there. And you don't have to be a citizen of them. There's just no you can't be extradited because I believe either that country is not on good terms. The United States is not going to sit there and extradite them. Anyway, like Russia, there's no extradition from Russia to the United States because
China as well, yeah.
Yeah, China. I mean, there's many, if you want to quote unquote people who leaked, like the people for WikiLeaks.
Right, Snowden comes to mind.
Yeah, Snowden, he went to Russia.
He's still in Russia.
Yeah, okay. And he...
Allegedly. Allegedly.
You don't want to out the man. You know,
I like the guy.
Now, shut up! The FBI's gonna be here, bro.
I don't like the guy. He don't got.
You hear that little signal? That little signal in the thing. That's the FBI tapping.
He doesn't have good points. I don't like him. He's horrible. So fuck him.
So there's no extradition in Russia, in which why people flee to Russia.
Okay.
It used to be for Cuba too. I still think there's no extradition from Cuba.
I don't know.
But they're on better terms now, there might be.
I think they're allowing tourism, so they think they're on better terms with
us
now. But
for me, I'm gonna label this cult. I'm gonna say for me that they're closer to a cartel, because when you talk about drug smuggling, I don't know any terrorist organizations that drug smuggle, you know, as like their biggest thing, you know.
Well, I mean, again, in retrospect. A cartel is a terrorist organization.
Yeah, I mean, labeled by the FBI.
Yeah, well, yeah, because they're out here. They're smuggling drugs, and they're committing crimes and terrorizing people and killing innocent people. So by that,
terrorizing terrorists.
Yeah, no. So by that definition, like a cartel would, any cartel by default would be a terrorist organization.
Okay.
In my eyes.
All right. So, I mean, I enjoyed this episode of Rajneesh Parm. I didn't think we could sit there and like we all came a little blind to this episode of knowing what it is, because I've never heard of Rajneesh Parm before.
What the fuck I was walking into.
So I think we all were a little surprised about the amount of shit that happened.
Because we stuck to the subject, there was no.
I got curious. I wanted to know.
There's no talk of
appliances. You're right. We had that too, but when at the same time when you're sitting there, like you know, fucking bio war. Biotechnology war, fucking assassination, its own airport. Like, there's many things you sit there and go, how the 64,000 fuck?
64,000 acres of land? Like,
7,000 people on 64,000 acres of land? Like, you're sitting there like, how the fuck did these people get away with this in the United States?
It was the 80s.
I was going to say the same thing. It was the 80s.
It was Oregon, you know?
It was the 80s, dude. Well, it was the 80s.
Next week, we go back to prophecies. I can't wait for next week. You know why? Because Quasimodo predicted this shit. No, we talk about Nostradamus.
Isn't that the fucking producer?
No.
That's worse than The Sopranos right there. Oh, my God.
No, Quasimodo, the hunchback of Notre Dame. You know, it's weird. You know, Notre Dame has a hunchback, quarterback, a tailback. No, nothing. No, they don't get that. I'll have to show them. We'll have to show them that. You don't know the hunchback of Notre Dame?
Oh, this is so lovely. I swear to God.
You never saw that movie, the Disney movie, The Hunchback of Notre Dame? Dude, you are not cultured.
Seriously.
I gave him the middle finger. Salmonella. Say it one more time before we get off air.
Salmonella.
There you go. All right, so next week we talk about Nostradamus.
Nostradamus.
Which is a big fucking episode. Because this motherfucker predicted... if you want to say he did, we'll talk about it.
Well, and save it for next week. Yeah.
You know, no, I could give a little preview. He's talking about stuff like 9/11, talking about stuff like the assassination of John F. Kennedy. He talked about like he predicted Hitler, like he predicted allegedly.
What about Oprah?
Did he allegedly Oprah? Predicted a lot of things.
What about Oprah?
I don't know about Oprah. I don't think he
we'll
said anything.
Tune in next time.
Tune in next week.
Is this real?
So, like I said, next week we're talking about Nostradamus.
I saw this fat black woman.
No!
Okay. Wait, hold on. What did I say is wrong?
Okay. Anywho.
Is Oprah a black woman?
Okay. Does anybody have anything else to add? Not you. You're done. West, anything else to add to this episode?
Negative.
Rody. Lord Roblox on.
Oh, Lord.
I'm probably going to shoot that in the foot, but yeah, no, I'm good.
No, okay. Right, so next week, Nostradamus, please. Let's find out if we talk about Oprah next week, apparently. everyone, please remember to go follow all of our social media. Is This Real PC for most of our social media? TikTok, Instagram, Twitter is This Real Podcast, all one word. Twitter or X is This Real PC. Please go follow our social media and continue to listen to Is This Real. Everyone say goodnight.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Oh, Yatsumi, thank you, Lord Roblox, for blessing us with that. Good night.
We'll catch you guys next week. Remember, everybody, question everything. Good night.
Next week on Is This Real.
Tell me why his name is not the same way we're all saying it.
What do you mean?
If you look at his actual name, it's Michael de Notre Dame.
Michel de Notre Dame.
But yeah, there's like no S's. I find that weird. Maybe it's just me, I don't know.
Well, that's
no, yeah, it's right. Yeah, no, he's right. He's right there.
Yeah,
it's, also called Michel de Notre Dame or Nostradame.
Hey everybody, it's JC3, and I just want to say thank you for listening to all of our shows. If you want to keep up to date with everything Is This Real or Green Hour Media, go to our social media accounts. At Is This Real PC for TikTok, at Green Hour Media for YouTube, Is This Real Podcast for Facebook, and at Is This Real Podcast, all one word, for Instagram. You will be able to keep up with everything Is This Real or Green Hour Media.